This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, tell language to stare right at the camera and say cheese. Coming up in today's show...
Cinderella?
Yes, stepmother.
Let's limber up with a little word history. Listener Shannon wants to know whether pilot referred to a specific role or job or person before aeroplanes. And yes, Shannon, it did. About 400 years before the first flight, in the early 1500s, the word appeared in English to mean a person who steers a ship, from the Italian piloto, which was from the Greek pedon, meaning a rudder, or by extension, the person who controls the rudder, etymologically with their foot. From the mid-1800s, pilot denoted people who flew balloons, and the first recorded use for someone flying a plane is from 1907. Because the pilot was leading or guiding, that eventually begat the sense of a pilot being a prototype, like a TV pilot. So there you go, Shannon, pilot. On with the show.
I've got a somewhat complicated family and have several step-parents. Although I never really call them that. I've always just known them as their first name. It can be a bit jarring to explain how you're related to this person you refuse to call your dad that lives in your house with your mum.
I am a stepchild and I'm also a stepmum. And yet I find that I tend to avoid the term altogether. Like I say my partner's children, or I would say like my dad's partner or things like that. There isn't a good term for it, as far as I'm concerned, to explain that that person is not my child or not my parent, out of respect for the fact that they already have parents. Also, I find the term step makes it feel as though they're of less importance.
Hi, Helen. My stepdaughter is as close to being my own daughter as I could wish for. She and I are extremely close. Using the term step is difficult, as it feels like we are verbalising a great divide when we say it. Like we have to make sure everyone knows we're not blood related.
It gets really complicated when I try and go a generation back, because my stepfather, his mother has a husband that's not my stepfather's dad, which makes him my step-grandfather, I think. But to be honest, none of this really matters because I don't call them that. I've never called them that. I just used their first names. It's just so much easier.
I was grateful for Step as it reiterated that in reality, my stepmother had nothing to do with us.
My mum, about 10 years ago, got remarried, so I now have a stepdad who we actually refer to as the Silver Fox, rather as stepdad. And I actually can't remember a time when I've ever actually called him my stepdad. It feels like something that in no way fits or describes the sort of relationship that I have with him.
In terms of the word itself, I didn't really mind it. I had a nice stepmum, so that all worked out quite well. Although I don't like it when people call my half-brothers stepbrothers, because I'm genetically related to them and that feels like they're dwindling that.
And it just seems a completely pointless differentiation to make. The idea that I would introduce him as my stepdad rather than by his name, or that I would introduce his son as my stepbrother, just seems ridiculous and slightly cruel. And I think just feels kind of contrary to the idea of what family should mean. I think the only time that I would even ever consider referring to them specifically as my stepdad or my stepbrother would be a kind of medical situation where they needed to know for sure that there was no kind of genetic similarity between us. But I can't think of any other instance in when it would be necessary to make that differentiation. I kind of hate it. Actually, I really, really hate it, actually.
Since step indicates the biological and possibly emotional distance between relations, I'd assumed that etymologically that was also where the term originated, the idea of someone being a step away from the family. But step, the family word, and step, as in to tread, have totally different roots and very different meanings.
The word step it's a prefix, and it is an Old English word that has a counterpart in a ton of Old European languages, you know, like High and Low German, Icelandic, Swedish, Danish, Norwegian.
That's Erin Mankey of the podcast Lore, which is all about the history behind scary stories and folklore.
It has this connotation of meaning to bereave or to mourn.
Divorce was pretty difficult or impossible in most places until relatively recently, so it makes sense that for there to be remarriage and hence step relationships, Someone would have had to die.
And so the word actually came about not in relation to stepmother, but in relation to stepchild. It was about the kid who lost her parents. You know, it was this child who was mourning the loss of her caretakers and the people that she loved. And so she became a stepchild. And over time, they needed a term for people who, you know, took on or cared for these stepchildren. And the natural order was to just call them stepmothers and stepfathers. And so at that point, the meaning kind of gets diluted, because obviously the stepmother isn't mourning the loss of this girl's parents.
And the loss of a biological parent wasn't the only death that stepchildren had to worry about.
There was a study that was done in 2013 in Germany, and they looked at something like 14,000 children born between like 1720 and 1880 in Germany. And they found that the father's remarriage actually reduced the survival chances of the children who were born from his previous marriage.
Oh.
Like categorically across the board. If you know, there was a kid and the mother died and the father remarried, their chances of survival plummeted.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
Part of it is there's the mother instinct. You know, I want to take care of the child that I gave birth to. And children are a lot of work. And life wasn't as easy, you know, in 1750 as it was today. And it was easy to kind of shirk off that responsibility that we see today as the honorable thing to do, which is just take care of your stepchild, like your biological child. But they didn't see it that way back then. So if you have a stepmother who's neglecting children, they can kind of take on that connotation of not being the nicest ladies on the block.
And that's an idea that has been reinforced over centuries of culture. Think about it. In stories, a typical godmother gets to be a fairy godmother, whereas stepmothers, well, you don't get fairy stepmothers, you get wicked stepmothers.
You know, the word kind of came out in a time when women didn't have, they didn't have any rights at all, or very little rights. But I think it's a pretty bad position to be in as a person in a family. You know, you're not the mother, you're the replacement. You're coming in and, you know, usually the father has either divorced his wife or he's lost his wife. And so he's overcompensating by being the hero and being the nice guy. And the stepmother comes in and she has to be the disciplined person. And you know, and it, she gets seen as a little bit evil.
Also, you've got the contrast between wicked stepmother and biological mother who is dead and therefore can just be perfect forever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. The stepmother is left to, you know, kind of dish out the discipline, and she has to assign household chores. And you see this in the folklore, Cinderella having to sweep all over the place and clean up the soot.
Now, let me see. There's the large carpet in the main hall.
Clean it.
And the windows upstairs and down.
Wash them.
Oh, yes, and the tapestries and the draperies.
But I just
finished. Do them again. And don't forget the garden, then scrub the terrace, sweep the halls and the stairs, clean the chimneys, and of course there's the mending and the sewing and the laundry.
And so to an outsider, I think it always looked like a cruel thing for the stepmother to make the kid work like this. Even though if the biological mother was in the house running the show, the same discipline and the same assignments of jobs would probably be handed out. And then they would see her as doing her job as a mother. You know, it's this societal stigma.
I think in Cinderella, the contrast is particularly highlighted because the stepsisters have a pretty comfortable life. So you wonder why Cinderella's dad isn't intervening in the situation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's more nuance in reality. And in reality, the biological kids of the stepmother probably would have been given tasks to do too and chores. It's a trope, you know, stepmothers are a trope. It's a tool that's hauled out by writers to make you feel emotions, to feel the feels, you know? And whether it's hatred toward an authority figure or a reason to pity a hero who needs to break out on her own and you know, do better than she's done.
Do you think the fathers chose wicked stepmothers because they were bereaved and they didn't know what they were doing, or just because they needed someone to do the childcare and housework and therefore they weren't too picky?
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter. You know, you think about, you know, some poor schmuck in 1705 whose wife dies in childbirth and now he has a baby to take care of. I mean, my wife was around when our first child was born and I was desperate for help. So I'm trying to imagine, you know, 1705 myself with no mother to help out, and that's pretty scary. So I can see men marrying quickly it's like hiring just to fill the position, you know? And sometimes you hire badly. And maybe that's where some of this this evil stepmother comes in. I actually don't know of any that have the scary or evil stepfather.
Huh.
I think there are something like 350 versions of the Cinderella story alone across the globe. And nearly all of them include some sort of non-related mother figure who is, you know, evil toward the girl. There's even a classified fear of stepmothers called nowherecophobia, I think is how it's pronounced. Yeah, it is the fear of stepmothers.
Can you think of any examples of good stepmothers?
I can't. You know, I did a lot of research and just into the concept and the words and some of the fairy tales and all. And I can't. Sometimes I feel like the stories even went so far as to double reinforce the evil outside woman idea. This isn't a European Middle Ages concept either. I mean, the Romans had a negative connotation in regard to stepmothers as well. The word for stepmother had the connotation of like being the outsider, that she didn't belong. And they believed that even if she wasn't outwardly cruel, like if nobody saw the stepmother being cruel, that they still assumed that her intentions would be oppressive toward the children of her new husband. You know, so even in Roman times, stepmothers weren't seen as nice people. So it goes deep. But it's interesting, the story of Hansel and Gretel, the witch and the stepmother, they're actually given the same personality types all throughout the story. You can literally interchange their characters in most of the tales of Hansel and Gretel. And at the end of the story,
spoiler alert,
the children successfully kill the witch, right? And then they find their way back home and they find that their stepmother has also died. So, you know, even in those roles, like the defeating of the evil woman who's an outsider is repeated in both the witch and the stepmother. And so I don't find examples where anybody has gone out of their way to make the stepmother nice. It's as if they've really tried hard to say she's evil. Yeah.
I think a lot of people have a strange, odd connotation of the term step, as in evil step sister, for example. I mean, it's completely ridiculous, but it just is something you don't want to have to bring up. And people seem to assume that you don't like your stepsister or your stepmother for no particular reason.
And when I was about 6, my dad got married to a woman who was not my mom. And that was pretty easy to explain. I now had a stepmom, had a dad and a stepmom. And I had a vaguely Disney-influenced sense that I shouldn't call her that, because to be a stepmom was to be really mean and really terrible. And this lady was neither of those things. She was really sweet and she loved me a lot. And that was all well and good, but things got more complicated when she and my dad got divorced, and suddenly I had to explain to people that I was going to spend the weekend with my ex-stepmom. That was a little bit difficult to interpret. And it got even more complicated when she married a new guy who was now my ex-stepmom's husband, which most folks thought should still somehow add up to being my dad. And so to solve that, we started calling him my fake daddy. And so we would casually mention in conversation that I was going to visit my ex-stepmom and my fake daddy, and that would kind of take people aback. They'd want to hear the Jerry Springer side of things, but it was really just that I'd found these two new great people to be in my life, and it was probably more straightforward to just say family friends at this point.
When we were kids, we referred to my dad's girlfriends as slut mothers instead of stepmothers. Now, in my head, this is the term I use for my ex's girlfriend, who would like to meet our kids next month.
There have been occasions where I have felt judged because of the way in which I've described my relationship with my stepchildren. I was in a conversation on one occasion, and I consciously decided to refer to them as our children, because I'd kind of got a bit bored of calling them my stepchildren or my partner's children, because I felt that that undervalued our relationship. So I was making references to them, saying things like, oh yes, our son is in university, our daughter is doing this, that, and the other. And later on in the conversation, as a result of questions that were being asked of me, I then had to explain that they weren't my children. And the woman that I was in conversation with looked at me as though I had just handed her a plate full of poo. And like I'd been lying to her throughout the conversation. That wasn't fun. And then I went back to just not knowing what to refer to them as and not really finding a term that worked.
I've had several step-parents, and I almost never use the term step because it somehow feels like a put-down or some kind of derogatory. However, I did used to refer to my father's wife as my step-monster.
I don't really have strong opinions on what my stepdaughter calls me, as long as it isn't that twat my father married.
I mean, it's quite tricky referring to parents, because I can't say, oh, my parents have said this, because obviously they're not my parents. So I tend to go for parental unit, but I felt that it worked quite well for me most of the time.
So find a better word. That's our quest.
Do you think the word would benefit from being updated now? Because it's quite a severe sounding term.
It is. Words are so fluid, and over time it's changed. I mean, like I said, originally, step would have had the connotation of, oh, this is somebody who's mourned the loss of parents. And then step kind of took on that evil connotation. And yeah, maybe we need a new word for it today, just to drop it all and leave that history behind. And I don't know what that word would be.
We could put it out to tender.
We could, yeah. Or you could just open your dictionary and point and pick a new word.
Biomorph.
Imago.
Bunny too.
I think so. Jabberzite. Emir.
Well, this is difficult.
Forkball. Shemozzle.
That's never going to work.
Ricer.
Oh, if anything, that's worse.
Erin Mankey's podcast, Lore, that's L-O-R-E, can be found at lorepodcast.com. I don't have any step family myself, so I'm hugely grateful to all the listeners who contributed their feelings to this episode. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is emolument, noun, a salary, fee, or benefit from employment or office. Try using it in an email today. This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman. Thanks to Martin Austwick for the music and for the editorial advice. You can find me online, search for Allusionist Show on Facebook and Twitter, and visit the show at its forever home, theallusionist.org.